Accession number 31436, Mr. Fred Cutmore, Real One. Can you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Cutmore?
I was born in London.
Whereabouts?
In Hackney.
And what was the date?
Oh, 8th of the 10th, 1930.
And could you tell us a bit about your family background? Were your family living in Hackney?
Well, we all lived in one house in them days. The whole family, my granddad, my grandma, my uncles and my aunts, and my mum and dad.
In Hackney?
Yeah, and then we moved from there and come down to Dagenham.
Now, what do you remember, how old were you when you moved?
Oh, Christ, I was only young.
Do you remember much about the time at Hackney?
No, not a lot. I can remember the stag pub and the barrel organ outside, I can remember that. And the gas lights.
And what did your dad do for a living? Tell us a bit about the family, if you can. What did he do for a
My
living?
My dad? Ooh. He was in the First World War.
What did he do? Which regiment? What
you remember? He, well, he worked as an electrician when he moved down here, but what he'd done in London, I don't know.
What did he done in the war, though?
In the war, in the First World War, he's a rifleman. He joined up in 1914, and he got wounded on the Somme in 1918. He went right through and got wounded on the last Battle of the Somme. Got gassed and all. Quite a few times, actually. And when he died, my mum was still alive, like this. She was younger than him. She was older than him when she died. But when he died, he was 76. And they had autopsy on him, and they found the traces of mustard gas still in his lungs from the First World War.
Did he talk about it much? I mean,
never. He told me, like, when it wasn't till I joined the Navy and I came home on the Belfast that he mentioned things to me, and he said to me, "You got it, like, yeah." I said, "Yeah, we did." I said, "But we opened fire and silenced the shore battery." And he asked me a few questions about it. I said, "Well, you must have gone through 10 times worse than I did on the Somme." And
he had mustard gas in his lungs, but did it affect him, you know, his health, the wounds and the gassing?
In latter years, but he had a knobby leg where his wound was. That was one thing he did have.
Now, what about, how well off were the family in Dagenham?
Not very good, no. It was like a mean...
Whereabouts in Dagenham were you living?
We lived in Vincent Road first, over... It's not far from here, it's just around the corner. Then we moved into this corner house up this end, of this block. This was my aunt's house, but they moved into there, and my dad died, and my mother lived on her own, and so I lived in a flat then in them days, down in Vicarage Road in Dagenham, and my wife and I, we decided to put in for this house to be near my mum.
So, keeping it back to then, so you lived in this in Vincent Road?
Yes.
And what was it like? What do you remember of your childhood?
Oh, fantastic.
Tell us about it, give us an idea of it.
Well, it was all farms in them days when I was a kid. They had no roads, it was all sandy dirt like roads. No roads as such. And you knew everybody, and everybody got on with one another, and they all helped one another. And I've still got friends now who I know that lived in Vincent Road. But they've all moved away now.
Now, what about your education? You'd start your education before the war, wouldn't you?
I went to Campbell School, that's just up the road here. And, of course, the war had started, and it upset you. You was always coming home or going down a shelter, like, all the time, because the blitz was on.
I'll come to that. So you didn't, you weren't evacuated then?
Nope.
So tell me, how tell me about your education. How forgetting the war, how what did you do? How well did you do at school? What did you like? What did you dislike?
Well, it was all right, but there was, I think it was 10 times better than what it is now, what they educate them. I don't know, it's hard to say. It's,
well, but what subjects did you like?
Reading, writing, arithmetic, no, I couldn't get on with. But I think I learnt that in latter years. And but we had a good teacher, Mr. Shaw. He was Yiddish, but he was a good teacher, and he was very good. And me and him got on famous, like. There was a couple of teachers I didn't. There was a Mr. Furren. Oh, I think he was gay, or whatever they call it, or call him. And I didn't get on with him no bit. He was too effeminate to me.
Did you stay on after 14 or?
Yeah, only 14. You done woodwork. Well, you done everything.
Do you get any qualifications at the end?
No, just left school and went to work.
Now let's go back to the war. I know you were only what you'd be 8 or 9. Do you remember the sort of day war broke out?
Yes.
Tell us about.
Remember
it.
That.
What did you think?
It was in the September. September, and we heard Chamberlain's speech that we've asked it for Poland, for a letter from Germany to stop invading Poland, or we're at war with Germany, and we haven't heard nothing since. So now we're at war with Germany. And about 5 or 6 minutes later, the bleating siren went. And Dad got us all down a shelter.
That was a false alarm, wasn't it?
It was a false alarm. A Lysander, a British Lysander, come over.
Now, so what did you think about the war? I mean, did you understand it at all, really?
Oh, blimey, I had a lot of thoughts about the war, like, you know, in them days, we used to get War Illustrated and all them things, and you was English. I was always English. I've always been English. My dad was born in Bermondsey, and he was English. He fought for his company, and he volunteered to go. He was English, English through and through. Although he was an old Cockney, but he was an Englishman. And I don't know. I had a brother. My brother was in the 8th Army. My sister was in the West. And the other sister was in the Nappy. And they was all older than me. I was the younger one. They all joined up. That was it. That's how it happened in them days.
Did you follow the progress of the war, or were you too young?
No. Followed it. When all the ships was getting sunk, right, you know, the convoys coming here. And I don't know, it was so much that you could take in. I was 10, 1939, I was 9. Time the war started 10, I was 10. And the Battle of Britain had started by 1940. We used to cheer the Spitfires when they left Hornchurch just up here. Cheer them up, we'd stand on top of the shelter and cheer them up. We see all the dogfights happen all over there. The Spitfires and the Hurricanes used to charge up. They'd about, we used to count about 9 out of a squadron go up, and then 9 out of a squadron go up, and we just count them back, and when we see them coming back, they ain't lost one. Oh, you should see all that. You see them all dog fighting and then when the Blitz really started, when they started bombing, that was a different thing then.
Can I ask you a couple of questions about that? What about air precautions? Did you have a shelter?
Oh, yeah.
Was it an Anderson or a Morrison?
Yeah, Anderson shelter.
Could you describe one?
Well, there's still one up there.
They can't remember, we're on tape, they can't see it. Can you describe what your shelter was like, how you put it in and what it was
like? My dad, he'd been in the First World War, and so it was built properly. And it was a fantastic shelter.
So what do you mean by properly? Explain what he did that made it so good.
He dug a trench in the shelter to take, if where the water come in, you had duck balls in it. That's one thing he did do. Because he said when he was in the First World War, he never see his legs for 10 weeks. So he built duck balls, and he put duck balls in it, and all the water that used to come out of the earth used to go into the underneath the duck balls. It was always bone dry. He rigged up a fire in it, electric fire, from the house we used to plug in, and we used to have it in there. We had four bunks. Me two sisters, when they was at home, like, but when they joined up, of course, it was only me, Mum and Dad. Not a stepbrother. And he used to stay with Alan. We had him since he was three. So there was Mum and Dad, me and Alan, and that was all.
Now, what was it like in there as a kid, in a shelter?
Fantastic. The only thing is, we never got nothing to eat when you was a kid.
Well, tell me about the rationing then, food rationing.
Well, we used to go up to the shops, Mum, but also she, like, there was, it's still there now today up in Gorsbrook Road, the, what they called it, where the nuns are. Can't think of the name of it.
Doesn't matter. Carry on.
And we used to go and get all the veg out there because they had farms in there. And me and Mum used to go in there when I was a kid. I can always remember. And the nuns used to sell all the veg to the people. And at the convent, that's what it was called, the convent. It's still there today now.
So did you suffer from lack of food much? I mean,
no, not really. You could, you didn't get no sweets or nothing like that. You got a banana once every 10 years, or like that's exaggerating. But they used to raffle things like bananas or an orange, or you couldn't buy things like that. No, sugar. See, it was. When I joined up, and I was on the whirlwind up in Scotland then.
Hang on, that, keep it in order. So, you were tight on food, and you moaned a bit, but you had enough.
Oh, yeah, you had enough, yes.
What about clothes rationing?
That was a different thing altogether. You got hand-me-downs, and Mum was really good. She had a machine. She used to make all our stuff, all out of bits and pieces. She was just, that's how Mum was, I don't know, because she was my favourite and my dad.
So you had enough, your clothes were all right, you weren't too...
No, got through it all. It was my two sisters who used to worry about clothes. You know how girls was.
What about gas masks? Were you issued with a gas mask?
Oh, yeah, we had.
Tell me about that. What was it like?
Well, we got issued with them and got every day or every so often they used to put a thing over it to test it. And
what was it like to wear?
It was no problem.
Did you worry about gas? Was it something you thought?
No. I don't think no one worried about anything like that. It wasn't going to happen. Like, if it hadn't happened, I don't think no one had worried about it. I don't know, the only thing you used to carry them about at first, always carry them, but then in the end, you stop carrying them.
Now, tell me what it was like in the air raids. So, because there were a lot of air raids when the
Blitz started. Yeah, there was.
So what were they like? What was it like in a German air raid?
Well, how can I explain it to you? Dad was always out fire watching, so he was either at work fire watching or out there fire watching. So it was only me and Mum and Alan in the shelter. And then the bombs started to drop, like you could hear them come over, boom, 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 boom. And then you'd hear it, it crushed, and you all used to duck down, and there was a bang, and that was it. And that's not near us, like, you know. The only bomb that dropped was up on that corner there, up on that corner up there, just up there. Blew all the windows out along here. But a bomb that dropped up there.
Were there not many bombs in Dagenham then?
Yeah. All this road was alight at one time.
That's Nuneaton. Which road? This is.
Pum?
This is Nuneaton Road.
Yeah. I dropped a big cotton of incendiaries. What they used to call them, Molotov cocktails, we used to call them. Romsey Road, all that. They dropped a hell of a lot. Scrutton's Farm over on Ripple Road, that had a couple of landmines land on it. Killed a lot of school kids, that did, who I used to go to school with.
So what was it like after an air raid? Was that, you go and look at the damage, or what would you do?
Oh, yeah, you always did. But same as when they shot an aircraft down, we used to run miles over the Thames, over by the Thames there, on the marshes, to have a look at a German aircraft that was shot down.
What do you remember of that?
Oh, I can remember. You couldn't get near it because all the soldiers be around it and police. But we used to see it. Oh, I've seen it. I've seen a couple of them over there on the marshes. Because they're not there now. There's housing estates built there. But there was marshes in them days.
Now, did you used to play on the bomb sites?
Oh, yeah.
Tell us a bit, because this is something that people are interested in. Now, what would you play? I mean, how did you play on the bomb sites?
Well, you played wars. Yeah, I mean, you was always a soldier or something, and there was a German, and you had to do something, I don't know, when you was a kid. Or cowboys and Indians sometimes.
Do you think the sites were dangerous, the bomb sites, or not?
No. Not to a kid, I think it was excitement. Not to a child, no. Could be something different.
Did you collect shrapnel as well?
Oh, blimey, miles of it. Well, my brother was at work, like, in them days, before he had to join up. And he used to bring me at home from up. He worked right on the river, he did, up Dagenham Dock. And he used to bring me big lumps home, and one day brought me home a nose cap of a bomb. Cool, I was the hero all round here. I had a nose cap of a German bomb. It never bothered him.
Did you ever get scared yourself? I mean, as a
no,
kid?
No, I didn't. I can remember during the winter months when it, we had a slide up the road up there, just up the top. And the siren had gone and the gun started to go. The only time we used to move out the way and get into a porch or somewhere safety when the guns is because of the shrapnel. But you could hear him go, boom, boom, boom. You should be coming over and he didn't take a notice, he carried on sliding until the guns opened up. When the guns opened up, whoop, you all got into the porch out of the way because of the shrapnel coming down. And all the noise, they should bring one up, just up on that corner there, one of the mobile guns, a big 4.7-inch, and that used to be let loose. Whoosh. The crash that used to send off. I used to bring it up here. the army or whatever it was put this beat up. We had a mobile gun. It's called mobile guns.
Did you ever go out and watch it firing? Or
No. I never actually see it fire, but my dad was always out there. He would never let me go out and watch anything because get in a shelter.
Did you visit the gun sites when the...
Oh, yeah.
And what would you...
Over on the riverside there, they used to have about 6 or 7 guns over there. I can't remember now. There's a big army camp there. We used to go over there when we was kids and see all the soldiers, like, with the gun sights. And now I know what they was, because when I was in the Navy, I was on the same sort of guns. They was 4.7s.
Did you have any close escapes during the war, you know, from either the bombing or later on the V1?
No, not really.
Nothing landed near you then?
No.
What about the V1s and V2s?
They was a bit different.
Tell us about them. What were they like?
The doodle bugs, you heard them coming. And when you see them coming, you run the opposite way. So the doodle bug went that way and you went that way. Because once they stopped, and down they come. And I can remember I was up the shops, up the Checkers one day, when one come down, or one come over, and me and Mum was up the shop shopping, and it started to come out. As it coming over, Mum saying, run this way, run this way. And the damn thing stopped and it turned, half turned. And now I've got, she said, run the other way. And you were watching it from the sky. We watch it. You should see them. And then I was in that, I went up to see me nan in Hackney one night. And me and mum went up there to see me nan and me granddad. And it was a raid then. And I was in Bromley Bobo Station.
Is that V1 raid?
No, that was bombs.
Bombs, right. Tell me about that then.
And we went, where the station was, like there was a bridge, there is still there now, but there was a bridge in them days over the station. And we got under the bridge, me and Mum and a few more of us, underneath where the railway line was, and we stood under the bridge while the raid was on. And the train still was carrying on then. And when the train come in, we all got on it. But no one took much notice. I don't know why. It got to an attitude like, you know. It was...
What about V2s? Do you remember them at all?
Oh, yeah. One of them just landed up not far up there, up that road there at Gull Street.
And what were they like? Because they're much bigger. We've got
one. Didn't hear nothing. All you see was a... Sometimes when they come down, was a trail of smoke and whoosh.
And what was the explosion like? Did you ever?
Yeah. Oh, they was loud, but they didn't do a lot of damage. When that one landed up there, all there was just windows knocked out. That was all. There was no damage to the houses, and it landed just across the road, if you like that distance. I think what happened, it went into the ground and it didn't explode sideways. It only went upwards.
Now, anything else about the war? When did you leave school? You left school at 14, did you?
Yeah.
That was just during the war, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So what were you going to do when you left school? What did you do? What did you want to do? What did your dad plan for you to do?
I didn't know. I guess he said you let a farm work for him. He said, go down Biggs Motor Bodies. It was Biggs Motor Bodies in them days. Do some war work. My mother worked there. Everybody done war work.
So what were you doing? This is a car manufacturer.
I was drilling bits for, I don't know, they was about that big. And I had to drill 3 holes in them, 1 big one and 2 little ones.
And this was building what? Car?
Tanks or whatever it was going on. And then...
So it's was it a manufacturing? What was it like working there? Tell us about working there.
Oh, bloody noisy. I didn't like it at all, but you had to do it. It was war work. You couldn't. You just, like it is today, you couldn't go from one job to the other.
So what would you? What was a typical day like there for you?
Well, how well, could I say it? Bloody horrible. I still hate it. In a factory, I couldn't stand clothes in.
So were you just drilling holes all day?
Yeah, that's all.
And were there women in the factory?
Oh, there was all women. Mostly women. You had a couple of old boys that was in charge, but they was all women that done the war work.
And boys?
No, it was, and boys like me.
So what do you remember? I mean, anything else about the time in the factory?
Well, when the Simons used to go, you all had to go in the shelter and all that. But
you didn't really know what you were making. It had
no, been... I never knew. No, never knew. All I knew, it was thousands and thousands of these things I kept drilling. And everybody had to go and do it. You was put in the war work. And then I said to Mother, I said one day, I said, I've had enough of this. I said, I can't stand this no longer. She said, you'll get into trouble. I said, I couldn't care less. I'm not doing it.
So what happened?
So I went and got a job in a shop. A bike, you know, when you ride the bike with a basket on the front.
Oh, a shop delivery boy.
Yeah, and then
So when did you do that? How long did you stick it out in the factory?
I don't know. I can't remember, actually.
Was the war still going on?
Oh, yeah. And the war was still on when I got in the bike job. Bloody doodle bug dropped up there when I was delivering stuff. Long time ago now. So I can't remember it all, but...
So what was that like, the delivery job?
It was all right. I used to enjoy that. Mind you, used to get a lot of grub, right?
Is it a grocery shop, then?
Yeah. United Kingdom Tea Company, it was called.
So anything about that job?
Yeah, we used to get... the bloke who ran it, I used to say... my mum used to say... see if he can get me some corned beef or something, and I used to ask him, and he used to give me some corned beef for mum, like for dinner. It was corned beef in them days, and there was hardly any cheese or anything like that. He was a good bloke, he was a good old boy, he was.
And how long did you work there for?
I worked there for quite a while. Then I left there and I went to, where was it? Oh, I went to London, up in Commercial Road, Marvin Johnson's.
What has?
Carpet warehouse.
Now, was the war still going on there?
Yeah, and then that's when I, the war had finished then.
So what year would that be? 45 or 46?
But mum be 46, as you imagine. Because all the blokes was coming out of forces.
And what were you doing at the carpet warehouse?
Well, I was just like, when they had to deliver, you unloaded it and loaded all the, laid the carpets all out. And that was a good job. I used to like that. Marvin Johnson's, that was called.